Tonight, of course, we kick it around with our friends in Washington, D.C., the true insiders from Talk Radio News, Justin Duckham in the wings. Justin, everybody's been talking about the royal baby and what's the name going to be of the baby boy and Kate and Will and all that kind of stuff in between. And apparently Congress got in on the action. What did they do?
Well, there have been quite a few people guessing about the royal baby name. We know that a number of lawmakers have weighed in on that. But in terms of, the D.C. response, we have seen a statement coming out from the president saying that he congratulates the royal couple and putting out the fact that, this baby is going to be coming of age during a golden age between the U.S. and Britain as they celebrate their special relationship. So that was the White House's response to this.
All right. What do you think the odds are they're going to name this kid George?
I don't know. I was asked on a radio program a little while ago what I thought it was going to be, and I tried to think of the best British name I could get, and I thought of Alec for Sir Alec Guinness, the guy who played Obi-Wan Kenobi in Star Wars. So if it turns out to be that, I just want to go on the record saying that that was me guessing that.
All right, I like it. That's clever. How about this? This is big stuff because we're going to have somebody on the show talking about Afghanistan, retired Colonel Ted Spain. You know, what's going to happen? Is it going to blow up or what? But from a different point of view, the Joint Chiefs Chairman wants U.S.-Afghan troops deal to be finalized, apparently, by the fall. What's the deal on that whole thing with the zero option?
One of the big news pieces that sort of came out today, which is a little bit under the radar considering the royal baby, was that General Dempsey, the Chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, the highest-ranking political officer, has been told that he, told reporters, that he has not been instructed to plan for a zero game in Afghanistan. He has not been told to plan for a situation where all U.S. personnel are removed from the country in 2014. There's, of course, the general belief that the U.S. is going to be maintaining a small presence in the country once the major forces are withdrawn. But in recent weeks, there has been reports in the New York Times that the administration was considering a full-scale withdrawal, possibly as a response to the growingly heated rhetoric from the Karzai government.
All right, so there you go. Dempsey with a different story. So full-scale withdrawal not on the table, apparently, at this point. Sticking with the Middle East for a second, what's the deal with the Russians and Assad? Because that's actually a pretty big story.
It certainly is. Today we had the Russian foreign minister announce that the Assad regime is prepared to hold peace talks without preconditions with the country's rebel forces in order to come to some sort of an agreement. This, of course, is coming up during some pretty heated times between the U.S. and Russia. In many ways, this has sort of been viewed as a proxy war between the two nations, considering Russia is somebody who supplies the Assad regime with weapons. And so that's some sort of big news coming out today. And of course, this is in the backdrop of the Edward Snowden fiasco. And that, of course, continues to drive a lot of the talks between them. But we do know that there has been a deal brokered between the foreign minister for Russia and John Kerry to bring a lot of these parties to a table to try to find a peaceful solution to, this brutal civil war that's been going on for 2 years. Nobody knows exactly if it's going to be fruitful, considering a lot of big-name negotiators have failed in the past, including Kofi Annan, who was one of the main point people in the early days of this. But it is at least sort of an interesting development to see Assad try to come to some, different understanding compared to what he's been doing so far.
All right, and the last one, Mike Lee, screaming about filibuster, and this is wrapped around Obamacare. Flush that out for us.
Mike Lee, as well as a number of other conservatives in the Senate, have threatened to shut down the government by not voting for the increase in the debt limit as long as Obamacare continues to be funded. This comes, of course, 1 week after we had the much-lauded Senate deal between, Reid and the Republicans, wherein they agreed to drop the filibuster when it came to a number of executive branch nominees. Following that, Reid said that there was a new feeling in the Capitol. He acknowledged that it was not going to be long-lived, knowing modern American politics, but it looks like it could be more short-lived than a lot of people hoped. considering there are some people now who are now threatening to move forward with a full-scale government shutdown in order to defund the Affordable Care Act. So that's a threat as it stands. We're not sure if they have enough votes to really stop the debt ceiling from rising again, considering something that last time around a good number of Republicans realized this was sort of an unwinnable war. But nevertheless, we have some pretty loud voices coming out opposing it.
All right, Justin Duckham, great job. Thanks. We'll talk to you again down the road. We move from Washington, D.C. to New York quickly at the top. Anytime something happens with a plane, it makes big news. And, of course, it's one of those areas where we fly, we're worried, even though we know the statistics. This time it's a Southwest plane, and it was coming into LaGuardia. It was landing there in New York from Nashville. It happens shortly before 6 o'clock East Coast time. The nose of the Southwest jet just came to rest on the ground after the plane came to a stop. The passengers jumped down the emergency slides. 10 people were hurt in this collapse of the jetliner, the front part of it. It was a Boeing 737, and the people on board said afterwards it was just this amazingly strong jolt feeling inside the cabin when the gear failed and the nose slammed into the tarmac. It was just a bang and then sort of a bounce. I heard it described from somebody today, and then the slamming of the brakes and a kind of a skidding feeling, much like you would feel in a car if you slammed on the brakes, only it's much more powerful, that feeling. So, yeah, there's about 150 people on board this flight that was coming from Nashville to New York. And there were 10 people injured on the plane. There was also another police officer on the ground that was treated for heat exhaustion trying to help the people. There were all kinds of conflicting stories flying around about how many people of the crew were part of the injured and that kind of stuff. They say 3 flight attendants were hurt and that the 6 crew members had all been taken to the hospital for observation as they were apparently moving around the plane. So the FAA is looking into it. But was there a nose gear problem before landing? Were they talking about it? Did they amend that later and say they weren't aware of that? So now, of course, you got questions, questions, questions. And the National Transportation Safety Board saying that they've got an investigator who's there. So they're following this. Remember, it was just a couple of weeks ago where we had the Asiana jet that in San Francisco that killed 3 people and injured 180. Now we have this one. So pretty close, different scenarios, it seems, but still pretty close with what were the kinds of planes we're seeing. The 737 has a hydraulic landing gear system, and a unit is under each wing. If you've flown them, which most of us have, you've seen what I'm talking about. And pilots can safely land with only the main gear that's operable. And sometimes that happens. Sometimes the nose can come down. But that's pretty scary if you think about it slamming into the tarmac. Of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado, and to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment basis. But it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America. And he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier. And I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
quantitative easing, unemployment at depression levels, Europe financial system falling apart, China getting out of U.S. treasuries. At the end of 2008, the time of TARP, the national debt was at $11 trillion, gold trading around $850 per ounce. Close to 2012, the national debt exceeded $16.4 trillion, gold doubled to $1,600 per ounce. The $20 trillion threshold for the national debt is inevitable. Politicians in Washington have a ferocious appetite for spending and stimulus. What's worse, a printing press to finance. 100 years ago, we had a gold standard to limit this madness, but now you have to adopt your own gold standard. Don't be fooled with paper promises. Get Midas Resources 10 Reasons to Buy Gold free by calling 800-686-2237. Understanding the gold and silver market may be the only insurance you could have to avoiding the next economic crisis. Call 1-800-686-2237 and order your free copy. Again, that's 800-686-2237.
Are you still a traditional smoker? Now experience a new lifestyle and try vaping with e-cigarettes by LeSig. Imagine no ashes, stains, nasty smell, or coughing and hacking. With LeSig e-cigarettes' revolutionary microelectronic technology, rechargeable battery, and unique replaceable cartridge, you'll get all the benefits and satisfaction of smoking without the hazards. Choose your taste from a wide variety of our new American-made Vaporeon e-liquids at LeSig.com. And LeSig smokes the competition by serving thousands of worldwide customers with real people customer service, fast, free, same-day shipping, and a 30-day warranty and satisfaction guarantee. So are you ready for a new vaping lifestyle? Then call 870-518-4307. That's 870-518-4307. Or visit LeSig.com, spelled LeCig.com. LeSig e-cigarettes for today's modern smoker.
If you could hear through the British accent, God Save the King, 8 pounds, 6 ounces, as I mentioned, this is the child who is third in line to the throne. Boy, the people in England love to gossip, gawk, and talk about the royals. It was like a crush of people all over that palace, outside of the palace gates. And now it's a question of what will they name this young lad. The announcement didn't include a name for the future monarch. They think one will be announced in the next few days. But, remember she had problems with this pregnancy, Kate Middleton, in the beginning. And apparently everything went well. So Prince William's wife has given birth to a prince. He is, as I said, third in line for the throne. And if you look at the bloodlines in that family, what are the chances that he sits in the throne? What, he's like 60 years away from that? Maybe even more. Who knows? Because these people live on and on and on and on. Matt, so I'm sure that you were just watching this with rapt attention. What do you think they should name this baby boy?
I have absolutely no idea, but I think, do they have to use, they have like a set list of names they have to use, don't they?
Yeah, there's names like George, former kings. If you go back and you look at English
George,
history,
though.
I wouldn't either.
No,
I wouldn't either.
No George, no Charles.
I agree.
I don't know. I don't know what the choices are, but...
Well, George, you got to think, what do you think of Charles, George, Henry? It's former monarch. So through the history of their lineage, it's easy to find out. It's pretty much the recycling of names. It's the same names. Could be Paul, could be John. That could be another one another name that they choose. But George, the reason they think George is because that would be named after his grandmother's father. So George, they're taking bets on this because, you know, in England they bet on everything. What do you think happens?
Stubborn guy.
Right, exactly. How many times can you skip a rock across the pond? And I'm serious, they will bet on it. So they're betting on the names, and so far George seems to be the 2-1 favorite as the name that will be chosen because, again, of the family history. So this child, if you look at the lineage and how long they seem to live, could become the head of state of 16 countries, by the way. Of course, England, Australia, Canada, that kind of stuff. And there is this thing to the monarchy in England where there's an advisory kind of capacity and a goodwill gesture. Because you know that Parliament and the Prime Minister ultimately rule England. And still, they still have a history of certain things and duties and whatnot, and that would seemingly stay in place. So this prince is a link to history, history, history. The infant is the great, 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 great grandchild of Queen Victoria, who was the ruler at the peak of British power. And many in England had hoped that they would start a family, William and Kate, after they were married in 2011. So remember, there was all the headlines about when will they have a child, when will they have a child. And now, finally, they don't have to worry about that. Plus, she gives them an heir right away. So the pressure of the girl, you have a girl, but yet you haven't had a boy, that whole thing's off. Doesn't it seem almost ridiculous to talk about it, though? But everywhere I looked, I'm telling you, every paper, and it is news, but every place I looked, this was number one. They used to say when papers were the thing and it wasn't so much internet and other ways to get news, that if it was above the fold, I mean, there's no question it was big news. And so this was definitely above the fold news. I suppose, as I'm making fun of that, there is something to the idea that this kid, this young prince, could ultimately have a little bit of stake in a role anyway in what happens in England, because there is the goodwill aspect of it and the face of the monarchy and, you know, whatnot that still means something to the people in England. British Prime Minister David Cameron, by the way, says that leaders gathering Monday for the G8 summit in Northern Ireland should reach speedy agreement on trade and tax reforms, drawing inspiration from that country's ability to resolve its own stubborn conflict. But I think the peace there, what's interesting about that is the peace there is going to be tested, absolutely, because they've had some problems in the last couple of months with some protests between the Catholics and the Protestants again. So they started to clash a little bit more. And if you look back, and even my trip to Ireland less than a year ago, that's what they were pushing on me when I was in Northern Ireland. The fact that this four-decade conflict is gone, where almost 4,000 people had been killed, that, you know, we've resolved this, and this is why they picked this place for the summit, for the G8, so that Belfast would sort of be that symbol of being able to come up with a way to negotiate and to settle your differences and that kind of thing. And so it's ironic that they've recently had a few problems there. And I mean, serious problems. So this is even the president was trying to really seize on that theme, if you will, in talking about what's happened in Ireland and, in recent years, and the protesters that had gathered, and, you know, all that kind of stuff. So It's interesting. It's interesting to see the whether there's going to be a calming effect there or not, if you will. All right, moving on to something else, because, you know, here we are opening up and talking about the Brits. Like I said, still a very, very big story. In our own government, the biggest story, if it continues to be what's going to happen ultimately with immigration, this is going to be pushed aside. What's going to happen with affordable health care, a.k.a. Obamacare, because now there's more conflicts certainly with this. And then, you know, the ultimate tug of war is the budget, because you even had Chuck Hagel, the defense secretary, lay down the gauntlet and say, hey, just so you know, we can't operate indefinitely without the kind of budget that we need, where we need more money put back into the budget. In a nutshell, he's saying expect more furloughs and more problems. And already they had a 20% cut in pay across the board, people who work for the Defense Department, and all of that just started to kick in. So people are realizing how much lighter their checks are, and that's when they feel it, and that's when people start to panic a little bit more and, you know, take to heart that, geez, how am I supposed to pay this bill? How am I supposed to pay that bill? Because we're really talking about the middle class that was slammed by the furloughs, and we're talking about people who serve the country, people who are serving the country, and that really the civilian population that supports those efforts in different ways, whatever branch of the military that they're involved with. I've said this before on the air, but I've got two friends that work for the DOD, and they say it's, you know, the conversation initially was they were going to get 20-some furlough days. Then it was going to be a 14 or 15. Then it was down to 11. So they are grateful that it's 11, but they're forced to take those days. They're forced to take a Friday. They're doing that pretty much across the board through the summer and then into the fall. And it means that they start to see that less is coming in, and it's, in some cases, it's cutting off money that they need for, you know, everyday living. Stay with us. Coming up at the bottom of the hour, we're going to talk about what's going on with the aftermath of George Zimmerman now that it's been over a week.
Normal blood pressure, naturally. How would that make you feel?
I'm Don from New Mexico. January of 2000, I had a heart attack. Then my real health began going downhill, and I had high blood pressure, high blood sugar, poor vision, and I really wasn't sleeping well. I was a mess, pretty much.
Don reports dramatic improvements with Heart and Body Extract.
I started taking Heart and Body Extract, and from within a few days, I started sleeping a lot better. My blood pressure normalized, my blood sugar normalized, and my sleep really did improve.
Experience these benefits and more when your body gets what it needs with the assistance of Heart and Body Extract. Order at hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305. That's hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305.
Folks, I did not expect this at all. By the 7th, 8th, and 9th day, I saw dramatic improvements from taking Heart and Body Extract.
Details at hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305 for Heart and Body Extract.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
What's safer and cheaper than prescription drugs?
Glad you asked. The answer is Renovation Teas. Herbal remedies are much safer and much cheaper than prescription drugs. Taste great, and most importantly, herbal teas are effective and non-addictive. Renovation Tea is especially unique, and here's why. We spent years researching herbs and their beneficial properties. Renovation Teas uses only 100% organic, fair trade herbs. Our teas are blended towards specific ailments and health conditions, such as diabetes, blood pressure, anxiety, libido, detox, and much more. All Renovation Teas are formulated and hand-filled in Arkansas. Take care of yourself naturally, the way Mother Nature intended. Order Renovation Teas at renovationtea.com or call 870-784-3121. That's 870-784-3121. Renovation Teas. Renovate your health one bag at a time.
There are those curious about bitcoins and those using and making money with bitcoins. What are bitcoins? A bitcoin is the first decentralized currency that can be easily transferred from person to person over the internet. No bank needed. This means lower fees, and accounts can never be frozen, limited, or closed. You are in control of your money. And the best part? You can start earning and making money with bitcoins right away. No computer or expertise is required to earn money with bitcoins, and a growing number of merchants now accept bitcoins. Plus, they're easily exchanged for dollars, euros, and more. Learn more about the easiest, cheapest, most profitable way to enter the Bitcoin market and get paid every 2 weeks by one of the fastest growing Bitcoin miners in the world at cloudhashing.com. Just like it sounds, cloudhashing.com. That's cloudhashing.com. We mine your business.
For centuries, silver has been used as a powerful natural antibiotic, and as a listener to this station, you probably already know the benefits of using colloidal silver. With so many websites to choose from, finding a reputable, patriotic company with great products at affordable prices can be a difficult task. Introducing UtopiaSilver.com. UtopiaSilver.com carries the best, most effective, and most affordable colloidal silver and colloidal gold products in the industry. UtopiaSilver.com also carries products to fit your lifestyle, including weight loss, immune system defense, cleanses, herbs, joint and bone care, and much more. First-time customers using promo code GCN50 will receive 50% off all colloidal products. Visit us today at Utopia Silver, that's U-T-O-P-I-A Silver, utopiasilver.com, or call 888-213-4338. That's 888-213-4338. UtopiaSilver.com, taking back America's healthcare one American at a time.
Partying and the dancing for the Brits as they're wearing party hats. They got the Union Jack flying high all over the place. People are cheering outside of St. Mary's Hospital, and they're obsessed with this little bundle of a boy. Pomp, circumstance, and everything else. As I said, I've never seen so many people crush against the outside of the gates of the Royal Palace. So be it. Here, closer to home, people are just as passionate about this Trayvon Martin case, really George Zimmerman, who was acquitted of his murder. A couple of interesting developments. I remember he was acquitted back on July 13th, and time is ticking away. You know, before you know it, we'll be at the end of July, almost there, swinging into to August. And we go back to the murder of Trayvon Martin, which happened in February of 2012. So this conversation has been ratcheting up for a while now, and sort of was a little subdued, now kicked back in since the acquittal. The not guilty verdict has produced incredibly dramatic different reactions among blacks, whites, etc., across the board. And I can't help but, as I am a person who looks at the polls, but point out this new Washington Post ABC News poll. Check out these numbers. So the jury's decision in the case that has now got people across the country protesting, demonstrating. They're talking about boycotting the entire state of Florida. They're talking about federal intervention with the Stand Your Ground law. And it's just been nonstop debate. So this new survey underscores this gap and shows how passionate many African Americans are about the case seriously. Because this is what it shows. Black people are 86% say they disapprove of the verdict, with almost all of them saying they strongly disapprove. 87% saying the shooting was unjustified. In contrast, 51% of whites say they approve of the verdict, while just 31% disapprove. There is also a partisan, what they call, overlay to the reaction among whites. 70% of white Republicans, but only 30% of white Democrats approve of the verdict. And then, bear with me, among all whites, one-third say the shooting was unjustified, one-third say it was justified, the other third say they didn't know enough to have an opinion. So this verdict has really pumped up the discussion about why black and white people in this country see things in different ways, and is there a bridge that needs to be gapped, you know, even though we hear that there's progress over civil rights matters. And you know, and here's the thing. There's no doubt there were things that happened in the past that were unbelievable. And am I just in the minority here where I think so much of this is being inflated? Is it really just when we talk about the prism you look through, is it really just where you're from? I mean, has it come to that? Because I know plenty of people that are from what always gets tagged as the South and living in the South, that the South is so prejudiced and it goes back to Jim Crow days and it still is lingering in Mississippi and Alabama and in Texas and in, you know, name, pick a place, and in South Carolina. And I would have to say that I think labeling that across the board is wrong. So here's a case where in this poll, there might be something about that conversation, but I'm going to say that some of that is foul. I'm not going to agree with all of it. A Pew Research Center poll that came out on Monday found that black and white Americans, same thing, were divided on the question of whether the verdict raises important issues that should be discussed, or whether, this is my question, race is getting too much attention. Is this whole race card thing being overplayed? Is it getting too much attention, or no? Why can't we have those kind of conversations? So 8 in 10 African Americans say it was useful to have a discussion. 6 in 10 whites say race is getting too much attention. So maybe it is split. I mean, it's split according to these polls anyway, which is not 100% foolproof, because it's a small sampling, but there is a reason why polls, for the most part, do show you a microcosm of society. Otherwise, pollsters wouldn't make the millions of dollars that they do, because politicians certainly wouldn't pay them to do the things that they do to get accurate numbers on what the issues are. All right, so in the meantime, what's interesting is there was a big story about George Zimmerman, and he hasn't really been seen publicly since the acquittal. He surfaced last week to actually rescue an unidentified family trapped in an overturned car on a Florida highway. So the Sanford Police Department captain said that he was identified by a crash victim as the guy who pulled him from a mangled wreck, saying that this guy pulled me out. Isn't that crazy? So the Seminole County Sheriff's Office said it was a single car accident. It happened on July 17th. It happened before 6 o'clock in the evening. It was a blue Ford Explorer SUV that just flew off the road and rolled over. And there were four people inside, two parents and two children, so they didn't have any reports of any injuries. But he was one of the people that pulled them out, got the people outside of the car, out of the SUV. And he didn't witness the crash, but he was there. He was around it, so it happened on an intersection of I-4, Route 417 in Sanford, and he happened to be in that area and jumped out and helped. And this all in the middle of getting death threats. He's getting death threats. His counsel is getting death threats. And other people connected to him are getting death threats. And somebody said to me today, well, of course, I mean, you're always going to get that anyway, so you know, how serious do you take those? And I would say, you know, in the case of this acquittal, I would take them very seriously. I would not take them lightly at all. Are you kidding? I think there are people that definitely want to do him harm. I think that, you know, listen, it went through our court system, and this is what we say is the fairest court in all the land, or jurisprudence way to do things, the law in our country, in other words, a jury of your peers, and he had six, only six, not even 12. And they decided that he should be acquitted. So, like it or not, or fair or unjust, this is the law. Innocent until proven guilty. And the prosecution didn't have the kind of evidence, I think, that they needed. Coming up, we're going to talk to retired U.S. Army Colonel Ted Spain. I mentioned him at the top in that conversation with Justin Duckham, to talk about Iraq and to compare it to what's happening in Egypt. He wrote a book about the mistakes that happened in Iraq, and he was called up in April to Washington to talk to the Department of Defense's conference on transitioning in war, in other words, what you do, and he was in the thick of it. Martin Dempsey, Joint Chiefs commander, is somebody that he served under and with Iraq, so he has some opinions on Dempsey, and Dempsey is saying zero tolerance in Afghanistan, as you heard from the get-go. And the thought is there will still be more troops in 2014 until maybe diplomatically everything can be resolved in that country. So certainly Colonel Spain has some thoughts on that after being released into complete and utter chaos. And he talks about, frankly, something that we said a zillion times, it seems, on America Tonight. And some of you clicked in on this, too. Years and years ago, we would say, well, what's the end game? When we leave, have we won the war? Have we done something that's incredible to make the losses, the loss of life, limb, and everything else, and their minds? Because some of these people have really, with the suicide rate for people coming back, have lost their lives, essentially, in a different way. It's so depressing. So he talks about the Joint Chiefs Chairman, wanting U.S.-Afghan troops to finalize that deal by October. And he's not ruling out the possibility that, hey, you know, we have to hang around, we have to hang around. Because he wants it to be a win. And this is what Colonel Spain says. Iraq was so heartbreaking that it wasn't a win. And that going there, that was the most disappointing thing. To walk away not really knowing if you made a difference or not. Colonel Spain, I'm going to introduce him to him if you missed him the first time around when we had him on back in the spring, next on America Tonight.
Weakened by GMOs, stressed out about money, and blasted by the electric environment. Hi, I'm Pastor Jenny, and that was the state I was in back in 2010. Then I learned about RNA drops. I learned that 97% of my DNA that scientists have called junk is actually packed with millions of gene switches that play a critical role in controlling how my cells, organs, and other tissues behave. I learned I don't have to put up with disease, decay, or decline like I've been conditioned to believe. I began taking RNA drops, a 100% natural formula designed to turn on those switches and provide me with amazing health and joy. Learn more about RNA drops and order a free sample today. Visit rnafreesample.com. That's rnafreesample.com. Or call toll free 888 888- 877-3703. Pay only shipping and handling for a free 30-day supply of RNA drops. Get the information you need and the health you want at rnafreesample.com.
We live in a complicated society. Stressful issues are always popping up. Have you ever been treated unfairly by someone? Have you ever been overcharged for a repair? Have you ever signed a contract or a document, worried about identity theft? How many times have you been in those unique situations where you just wanted to call an attorney to find out if you're right or wrong, or what your legal rights are? But every time you think about calling an attorney, what do you think about first? That's right. Who do you call, and how much will it cost? Our friends at Legal Shield have found a solution. With a nationwide network of 6,900 attorneys who average 19 years of experience, Legal Shield's law firms take over 40,000 calls per week helping their members. For less than $20 per month, you can have access to Legal Shield on everything from the trivial to the traumatic. Let Legal Shield stand up for your rights at lsprotection.com. That's lsprotection.com. Or call 855-340-SAVE, 855-340-7283.
From the makers of Blockit Pocket, we bring you a serious message about the health risks associated with cell phones and wireless devices. Studies have shown that long-term exposure can contribute to an assortment of health risks. Blockit Pocket offers you two new products designed to help alleviate your concerns. See these two remarkable products at blockitpocket.com. Call 888-315-9618. Free shipping to the lower 48. Blockitpocket.com. Enhancing health and privacy.
Raising your own chickens for food is great, but how will you get them ready for the dinner table? Do it the fast and easy way with a power plucker from powerplucker.com. The power plucker is a simple attachment that works with a power drill and removes feathers in a flash. Whether you're a homesteader or a bird hunter, you'll save time and money, and we guarantee you'll love it. Order right now at powerplucker.com and receive free shipping. Powerplucker.com, the only drill-powered poultry plucker.
This for a long time now. Of course, Iraq, and whether or not it's going to explode again, you know, that was my concern all the way through this as I've been doing America Tonight, you know, pretty much midway through that war and forward. And then what's happening in Afghanistan, of course, and Egypt, and what we're seeing in the possibility with Egypt. Retired U.S. Army Colonel Ted Spain joins us, and we've talked to him once before in the past. He was a terrific guest. And he knows very well Iraq. He was there in the invasion. He commanded the 18th Military Police. He wrote a book that was published in March. We had him on then, titled Breaking Iraq, The 10 Mistakes That Broke Iraq. And I'll tell you, he was caught there right in the middle of that storm. Colonel, thanks so much again for coming back on with us here on America Tonight.
Thank you, ma'am. I appreciate the opportunity.
So now we see what's happening in that country, and it seems as though we're like, I don't know, a bunch of ostriches and burying our heads in the sand, but it seems to me that the Iraqis are almost hell-bent on going after each other's throats, and of course we know the various religious factions that play a part in it. What do you see happening there, and how troubling is it to you?
Well, I think there's a lot of similarities actually between Iraq and Egypt and a lot of the other troubled areas over there. But specifically on Iraq, if you just look what's happened in the last couple of months, they've had about 600 people killed. And as you know, they're in the Ramadan season. There's been about 250 people killed just since Ramadan started. Now, that's near and dear to me. I lost two of my 13 soldiers were during Ramadan. And the intel back in 2003 said actually they were going to back off the attacks because of their religious beliefs. And, in fact, they did the exact opposite. They came very heavy after us. And they're doing that right now, even as we speak, in Iraq. And really troublesome over the weekend, if you saw that, they actually attacked the Abu Ghraib prison. Of course, I'm the one that was responsible for opening that back in 2003. But they attacked the prison there, killed 29, and then attacked an army patrol over the weekend and killed a 26 up in Mosul. So the violence is back to the 2007-2008 levels, but I still believe the similarities in all of those countries is there's got to be a political solution. The Sunnis still do not feel that they're a legitimate part of the government in Iraq, and they're about to make the same mistake in Egypt by excluding the Muslim Brotherhood.
Yeah, so you say it's political, that to fix this, it has to be through diplomatic channels?
Absolutely, ma'am. And that's hard for a retired military person to say. I mean, the military, you know, the military is just an element of power that the president has, regardless of who the president is. I testified up, or actually made a presentation in Washington, D.C. the end of April on this very subject here. The government brought me up there, met with a lot of government agencies, and they're trying to determine how they transition to get the military out of it and hand it over to the government and the non-government agencies, but also stand up a legitimate government. Look at the mess we're in Egypt, because that president that was removed by coup, we can call it what we want to call it, that was a military coup any way you look at it, he was a democratically elected president, certainly not the one that we wanted. So we really have a mess there in Egypt.
We're speaking with retired U.S. Army Colonel Ted Spain. And Colonel, you know, I mentioned the book, and you talk about the mistakes that happened in Iraq. Are we seeing the same problems, and you sort of said this in the beginning, that are segging into Egypt? Have we learned anything from Iraq that could be applied in some way to the situation we're now seeing in Egypt?
I can only, obviously I don't have inside information. I can only hope that we've learned a little something, because we don't have boots on the ground there in Egypt or Syria, because that's the next place that's going to blow up, is there in Syria. And it seems to be we a little bit more careful before we send in the troops, because once you send the troops in, once we entered Iraq in March of 2003, there was no turning back. As I said in the book, that's where the title of the book, Breaking Iraq, we broke Iraq. And we didn't have a plan to put it back together. And at least now, since what I learned in D.C., what we have achieved in the last 10 years, we've now accepted the fact, which is exactly what I wrote about in the book, about how important the rule of law is in standing up a government. And we couldn't figure that out back in 2003. And that also helped fuel that insurgency that started back in 2003. So I would like to say that we are learning the lessons. We also, you hear a lot about the $1.3 billion that we give Egypt each year. Well, see, 10 years ago, that was about 7% of their economy. Now it's only 0.7%. So we really don't have a lot of leverage financially in Egypt like we used to have.
Yeah. In your opinion, is that money that we need to keep putting into it, as you just were describing, what it is now compared to what it was, or no?
Well, you know, I'm not sure how we're getting around this, but we actually have a U.S. law that says we got to cut off aid if there's any country that the head of the government was deposed by a military coup. Now, we've chosen to say that was not a military coup in Egypt. Okay, if that's what we want to call it. But that was a military coup. And another interesting point is Iraq is watching that. Iraq, a lesson learned that Iraq's picking up by watching Egypt is they don't want to have a military that's so powerful. And that's where that money, that $1.3 billion for the whole time we supported Mubarak, that was going essentially towards that military. And they served us very well. I mean, look where Egypt is, and look where Israel is, and look what's going on now with Hezbollah. I mean, that is a mess over there, and I don't think putting troops on the ground is the right answer at this point. Hopefully we did learn that lesson from Iraq and Afghanistan, but I'm not sure. We don't do a very good job of learning our lessons.
Yeah, you know, speaking of that, interesting news broke that kind of went under the wire. The chairman of the Joint Chiefs said today that he wants a security agreement with the Afghans signed by this fall, in fact, by October, to give NATO time to get ready for post-2014 for that presence in Afghanistan. And as you know, the Joint Chiefs Chairman is General Martin Dempsey, and he told the reporters in Kabul that that agreement would give the United States and allies, you know, our allies, a year to do that for the post-military presence, as I just said, to make that transition, as you were talking about, a different transition, of course, on the Hill in April. And one of the quotes that was interesting is he said, militarily, I would like to understand the future more clearly through the bilateral security agreement sometime between now and October. Was this a smart move on his part?
Well, I talk a lot about John. I work for General Dempsey in Iraq, and I think the world of him. But, you know, of course, he's at the highest level right now, and he's military. military guy, but he's still got to play the politics. We all know that this is about the midterm elections coming up next year. In fact, I think about General Dempsey all the time and just wonder the dilemma that he is in right now, where he's got to support the politics of all of this, but he's still a military person at heart. And I just don't know of any military person that behind the scenes think that's a good idea to pull the troops out next year. But I understand the impact of the midterm elections. But look at what happened in Iraq. We've been out of Iraq 18 months, and we're now back at violence levels that was back in 2007, 2008. I believe, unfortunately, the same thing will happen in Afghanistan once we pull the troops out of there.
Yeah. So somebody who was in the military and you saw, you know, war obviously firsthand, you were in the middle of chaos. When you put your head on the pillow at night, Colonel, what bothers you the most? Is there something that sticks with you? If there's something that's going to explode or something we should be worried about, what would it be to you?
You mean today or back 10 years ago?
No, I mean today.
Well, today, I can tell you what I worry about every night is those soldiers. There's been over 4,500 soldiers that lost their lives just in Iraq. Another couple thousand there in Afghanistan. And I've attended two reunions, even since I talked to you last, and met with soldiers that are affected by life, some physically, some emotionally. Their lives will never be the same. And I'll tell you what I worry about every night when I put my head on the pillow is have those. And it's interesting now, I'm meeting them 10 years later. So I'm spending time, in some cases I'm meeting their wives, I'm meeting their husbands, I'm meeting their children, obviously none of which I saw on the streets of Baghdad. And they're 10 years older. They were 18 to 21, most of them. Now they're 28 to 31. And I have been absolutely amazed, astonished by how that war has affected these people, and myself included. I have learned a lot about myself attending these reunions, and these are scars that we will carry the rest of our life. And the thing that I worry about is that this is all going to be in vain. And it's just absolutely terrible to use the military for political reasons, and I understand everything's political. All wars are political. But then to send those soldiers home physically and mentally scarred, and then find out that or believe or come to a conclusion that it was all in vain. That's what I worry about every night.
Yeah. Colonel, thank you so much for sharing that. Retired U.S. Army Colonel Ted Spain, pick up his book. It's terrific, Great in Iraq, The 10 Mistakes That Broke Iraq, published, of course, as we said, just this spring. It's really a good, good book. I read it. You'll love it. Pick it up. Thanks. Thanks. We appreciate it so much, Colonel.
Thank you very much, ma'am.
Digestive health is the key to wellness and elimination of toxins. That bears repeating. Digestive health is the key to wellness and elimination of toxins. And Pro-EM-1 Daily Probiotic Cleanse is the key to digestive health. Pro-EM-1 is a powerful liquid probiotic, strong enough to cleanse, gentle enough to use every day. Pro-EM-1 is dairy, wheat, and soy free. Contains all natural and certified organic ingredients. Contains no preservatives or animal products. Supports a healthy digestive and immune system. Supports weight loss. Improves absorption of food nutrients, aids in controlling yeast infections, is never freeze-dried, and uses three groups of live, viable, beneficial microbes to cleanse and remove toxins. Order Pro-EM-1 Daily Probiotic Cleanse at Terraganics.com, spelled TerraganiX.com, Terraganics.com, or call toll-free 866-369-3678. That's 866-369-3678. Pro-EM-1, the raw probiotic.